Jesus. Nothing like head of the church is the Savior of the body. All things are made by Him and for Him. Whether they are visible or invisible, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, is before all things. In Him all things consist. It has pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in Him. Dominion is fullness. We have principalities and powers.
Grace for
all things.
For the Lord,
in Him all things consist.
Oh, grace came
through my Lord Jesus Christ.
It has pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in
this afternoon. Blessed because
of His fullness we have received by Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace for grace.
For the Lord came through our blessing in heavenly places.
Oh, grace came through.
Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world.
We bless you, Lord, this afternoon without blame in your sight. Thank you for sealing us with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Blessed be God,
who is the guarantor of our
Lord Jesus Christ,
who has blessed us.
Of the purchase
of blessing in heaven,
we give you praise.
What a beautiful
thank
afternoon.
You for choosing us before the foundation.
Thank you for what
you are about to do tonight.
Without praying this afternoon,
thank you for
sealing us with the Holy
thank
Spirit.
Thank you for everyone.
Thank you for
the guarantee of our inheritance.
Thank you for Jesus, the mediator of the purchase possession,
of the new covenant.
No, we give you praise.
What a beautiful afternoon.
That
thank you for what you are about to do
tonight.
As we proceed this afternoon,
we thank you for your servant.
Everyone is in
thank you for everyone.
Everyone
thank you for the spirit of joy
is strengthened.
And everyone is
thank you for Jesus,
the mediator.
And by the new covenant,
the Lord
speaks better things than
releasing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We give you praise.
Lord, as we proceed,
we declare everyone is blessed.
Spread through the many.
Everyone is lifted.
Everyone is edified.
Thank you, Father.
Everyone is strengthened.
And everyone is encouraged.
Wherever you are,
give the Lord a big hand.
Thank you
for watching online.
For those who are here with us in the studio, may be seated.
We're going straight into the Word.
Causing it to
by the grace of God, Apostle Selman is here already. And we're just going to go straight into the Word.
Give the Lord a big hand.
For those who are watching online,
and those who are here with us in the studio, may be seated.
We're going straight into the Word.
By the grace of God, Apostle Selman is here already.
Apostle Selman and I began to
have
a just great conversation about
go straight into the Word without much ado, because my role is not to speak today, it's just to bring up God's servant
this meeting
from the time he had
Apostle Selma and I began to have
to
a conversation about,
and it's born out of a desire to
from the
speak
time
the counsel of God into that generation of ministers,
speak at this meeting.
From beginning of this year,
of
about
this
passion for young ministers,
speak the counsel
and
of God
into the generation of ministers.
Efforts at
from beginning of this year,
about this
passion
for
young
ministers,
and all I've been doing
to embrace
a deeper dimension of the Spirit,
reposition
a deeper dimension of the Word
by the grace of God,
to be trained
young ministers
for capacity and building to happen in
the dimension of the move of the Spirit.
And that was what led to the conversation
dimension of the Word.
One of the reasons why this meeting is very, very
capacity
building
to
happen
in the scheme of things
is also a kind
of what led to the conversation.
Now, this is the first time
one of the reasons why this meeting
is like this,
that
when it's also a kind of
thing that has to do with something that
this is the first time Apostle Sam has been doing ministers,
and that is why
like this.
So as we're setting
when eternally blessed,
and if that's there,
the best you can do is to invite someone with young
like God of God,
just
take
two
ways
to do that, because this is
we're setting
here.
If you are there,
don't the be best you can do
tell somebody about
the
meeting.
And like God,
we are looking at the
live cards,
because this is
sent
the link to your friends.
If you are there, don't
live
on
tell somebody about the meeting.
At Daily Oshman,
we are looking at the live cards.
Live on YouTube,
send
the link to your friends.
We are live
on our various churches.
Facebook.
At Daily Oshman
platforms.
We are live
on
YouTube.
Live on our various churches.
Guys, as the ministry of Apostle Selman.
Platform
linking up.
We also live on
Patreon.
And I saw the notice
this afternoon.
This is a global meeting.
People
are here from the US,
from the UK, from everywhere.
Also linking up.
And
it's a major thing.
So on that note,
this is a global meeting.
Especially thank
people are here from the US,
from the UK, from everywhere.
Especially to be
at this stage.
It's a major thing.
If you know
Apostle,
so on that note, I want to
especially thank Apostle Sam.
It's a kind of man you can't pass me to do
something to be at this meeting.
It's clear in his mind
that
Holy Spirit is
a man of the Spirit.
Such a thing.
Is the kind of man who can't pass to do something
except
do so much about
it. Holy Spirit is
asking him to
myself an apostle.
Such a thing.
I won't,
maybe by the time we have the interactive session, let me also say that
so much about
we're going to have three sessions. The apostle is going to come up now to teach the word. He's going to be the first. And by the time we have the interactive session, let me also say that will be a bit interactive.
We're going to have three sessions
in which the apostle is going to come up now to teach the word.
He's going to be the first session.
Some questions
then
that will
the second session will be a bit interactive.
Your ministers
in which
God will
be able to.
The third session will be.
As the questions that just going to minister to
impart the restoration of your ministers
about how God has
said to just minister to
the third session
generally.
As the spirit leads him,
just going to minister.
So without much ado,
to pray, to prophesy,
and to just minister to
our ministers generally,
commend
the grace of God lead him.
So without much ado,
servant,
that God has raised for such a time as
I want to again
commend the grace of God
everywhere.
The life of
just the God side
won't be accepted.
That God has raised for such a
and like
time.
Like I said, without much ado,
we'll go straight to business
everywhere.
We'll be able to do
and
some
just
other things
with the time
be accepted.
Let us receive.
And like I said, without much ado,
we'll go
straight to business
everywhere.
We'll be able to do some other things with
the ministry of my brother and friend.
Let us receive
all the way from
tonight.
This
afternoon,
we are used to night
meetings.
The ministry of my brother and friend.
Apostle
all the way
Joshua,
from
Selma,
Koinonia,
Nimariti.
You know, most people call him Apostle Joshua Selma. We always forget that last
Apostle
part, which
Joshua,
is Nimariti.
Selma,
Apostle
Nima.
Bless you, sir.
Thank
you. Most people call him Apostle Joshua Selma.
All of us are here before God.
That last part,
which is Nimariti.
Apostle
God.
Please, God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Bless
you
so much.
Thank you so, so much.
All of us are here before God.
Waiting to hear that which are commanded by God.
Sincerely appreciate
your excuses.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please bless the Lord for this opportunity.
It's a wonderful time.
I sincerely bless the Lord.
your assignment, you would not know that you were, it was more than a baby. Oh, Joseph of Arimathea, to know that God prospered you only because a time would come that your influence and your wealth would bring down the body of the Christ from the cross. That is ministry. Oh, Simon Irene, to know that the energy that was given to you and the health was so that you will help to carry the cross of he that now becomes sin on his way to Golgotha. Ministry. Hallelujah. It is important because, you know, Pastor, many people continue to feel guilty, and sincerely, even sometimes of the authentic revelation of ministry into the convention, especially when the title of a pastor, apostle, prophet, or anyone is behind your name, that title creates a pressure. Hallelujah. So ministry has nothing necessarily to do with a church setting, a pastor standing in front of people, a congregation listening. No. Ministry has to do with the revelation and the glorification of the Christ, and any contribution towards kingdom come to that end is called ministry. Praise the name of the Lord. And it is in the culture of God, as revealed from Scripture, that whatever task or assignment he mandates man to carry out, he takes responsibility for the preparation of that. Never send vision. We see this in the life of the patriarchs. We also see this as he prepared the disciples who would later become the apostles of the Lamb. He took responsibility for the mentorship and the preparation, to the point that even when he did not finish the training curriculum, sir, when he resurrected, you thought he would have the time to celebrate. He came back and said, guys, gather, we still have there's we need encounters. Listen, the truth is that there are dimensions of ministry that are challenging. It will require an encounter to sustain your stamina. The Bible says if you turn aside in the day of battle, the diagnosis is that your strength is small. And encounters are the spiritual system that create convictions in believers. So we have several people who fall by the wayside. The reason is because they did the same brings conviction was not. Exodus chapter 3. More be sent to be a deliverer and to bring the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And please give it to us. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. Let's just rush. The Bible gives us a little story on how God began to deal with the flood to the backside of the mountain and came to the mount of God, even to Horeb. Go ahead. The Bible says, Moses, watch this. Moses has the destiny of a deliverer. He is about to confront his half-brother Ramesses to advocate the exodus of the nation of Israel from Egypt. But for that to happen, was taught the Egyptian astrology and all these kinds of the activities of witchcraft. And now God was about to prepare this man, and the first thing God did was to create a scene that would distract him away from every other activity. A bush that was burning but was not consumed, and he continued to flash it, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And then the Bible says, when God saw that he turned aside to see, he said, Moses, take off your shoes. Your shoes is a representation of your ideology and your experience, your work. So you can be a celebrity or you can be a successful person in the secular sector. And when you come into ministry, chances are that you will borrow your achievements from the secular and hope that God will just move you with it. Unfortunately, in the dealings of God, before he begins to do business with you, you must take off your shoes. The fortitude to come back to become like a child and begin your training with his majesty. So this is what happened to Moses. And then, listen, he now told him about his assignment. He said, I'm sending you, let's go to verse 7. You know, paraphrasing now, I'm trying to hurry up. I'm sending you to Egypt and all of that. I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry from their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and so on and so forth. Verse 9. Now therefore, it says, I have seen the oppression of the Egyptians. Verse 10. That's what I'm looking for. It says, I will send you to Pharaoh. Now, hold on. Notice two things that God tells any man he uses. The first thing is come. Then the second is go. Just because God said come does not mean ministry has started. Come is the name given to the process that initiates your training, your dealing, your building. Then when you are made, come follow me, he said. When I make you, then I send you. You can hear the voice of God. I agree, but what did he say? He said, Moses, come now, therefore, and then I will send you. You will think he just meant, come, let me talk to you and send you. Come now can be 10 years. Come now can be 2 years. Come now can be a journey in the cave of Adullam that prunes you and brings you to a point of stature and power in the spirit. Come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh. And when I prepare you, I will equip you in a way and a manner that you will bring forth my people out of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11. Now, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? 12. He said, certainly I will be with you, and so on and so forth. This shall be the token unto you. Now, when you read on, notice something that he said. Moses asked two questions. Number one, who am I? You need to tell me something about myself that gives me the audacity to stand before Pharaoh. Question two, who are you? So tell me who I am. But who will I tell? Pharaoh has sent me. Pharaoh is a stubborn man. Pharaoh is a wizard. Pharaoh is a system of rebellion. Who will I tell? Pharaoh has sent me. And God said, you are asking a beautiful question. Now you are calling for a revelation of me. The part of God you meet is the part of God that you will deliver to the people. It says you are crying for the dimension of me that will strengthen you to stand before Pharaoh. And he said, I am that I am. He had not answered his question yet. I am that I am. Moses, check your archives of the names of the gods of Egypt. Have you found a god with a name like that? Listen, names are representations of dimensions of specialty. When you call somebody a consultant this and that, you are attempting to describe his area of specialty. And the gods of Egypt were not all function gods. The gods were humble enough to admit that my specialty is weather. My specialty is fertility. So when Moses said, who are you? He meant, what dimension, what space do you occupy among the gods? And God was saying, you are asking a question that is a revelation of your ignorance. I am that I am. Here you meet the one who is the creator. Here you meet the one who only fragments himself to help men, but is not limited. I am that I am. He says, now go and tell Pharaoh, I am, has sent you. Let me tell you this. On your way to fulfilling the purposes of God, Pharaoh will ask you who sent you. When he says who sent you, you will have to draw from the archives of your dealing, the encounter that brought your confidence. Our generation, respectfully speaking, is not a generation of convictions. No. Our level of conviction and our depth of persuasion is very small. At every challenge, at every disappointment, at everything, we chicken away and we not begin to communicate epistles, heal our weaknesses. So forget about the conferences. Forget about the imagery of yourself traveling on suit to minister in a stadium. I congratulate you, it will come. But you better know you are being sent first to Pharaoh before the people. The man resisting the people is called Pharaoh. Your relationship with God. Genesis chapter 28. Let's rush. The first requirement for ministry is your own life. Your relationship with God. Jacob. Until Jacob had his encounter with God, we never knew that God could be called the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob was an award that Jacob earned for himself by reason of his insistence to know God. Notice that certain people encountered God to the point that God named himself as after them in honor for their depth of pursuit. Even Moses, God is never called the God of Moses. He's called the God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. Now, Isaac did his own. Abraham did his own. The God of Abraham does not behave like the God of Isaac. His operation is different. He is still the God of heaven. Now, Jacob is about to create a testimony for generations to come. And let's watch his drama. In chapter 28, I'll just rush and then we'll go to 32. The Bible says how that he came to a place called Luz, and then he found out that there was a stone there. Is that true? Then the Bible says that he dropped that stone and laid to sleep. And then he saw a portal that connected the heavens and the earth. And he saw angels ascending and descending. And at the top of it was God himself. And he began to speak to him. And Jacob got up from that experience. And he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know. He said, this must be the gate of God. I mean, the gate of heaven. Are we together now? And then Jacob did not appreciate that encounter. He was not transformed by it. The next thing that will happen from chapter 28 to 32 was the experience in Laban's house. There are times that God may not cause certain things, but you may be too innocent to see the necessity for an encounter. So God will allow you to go through certain things that will create a need. A need for his presence. A need for his power. It was the experience and the frustration that came from Laban's house that made him appreciate the second encounter in chapter 32. Please give it to us. 32, Genesis. I trust that God is blessing us. For time's sake, let's start from verse 22. Genesis 32 and verse 22. Shalaprakoski Abadaka. Hallelujah. The Bible says he rose up that night. Watch this. He took his two wives, drove them away. He took his women servants, drove them away. His 11 sons, he drove them away. And he passed over to Fort Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over to the brook. And over all that he had, he sent everyone away. The Bible says when he was left alone. There are dimensions of God that are not revealed corporately. You must use your desire to encounter that dimension. You must prove it by creating the atmosphere when he was alone. Then the Bible says, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day break it. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Just keep that there. We will learn from here how God blesses people. He blesses people by doing something to their name. O Lord thy God, how excellent. When God wants to bless you, he excels your name. Please understand this. How excellent is your name, and I will make your name great, Abraham. So when God wants to bless people, he does something to their name. But this is not what I'm teaching about now. So Jacob is having an encounter with the God of heavens, and he now held on to him and began to cry, and he said, leave me, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not leave you. Now watch this. You never, the strength of God cannot rest upon strength. The strength of God looks for weakness. So when the strength of God comes to you and finds strength, it will go back and wait until the time there is a factor in your life that is weak enough to need him, lest you confuse his strength and your own in the future. So Jacob was complete on his own, and it was difficult for God to do business with him. So God said, I will have to touch something in you that creates a permanent deficiency without me, so that it will become a memorial. Every time you limp, you will realize that I am your completion. Let it be the issue of life and death. This is why sometimes God will painfully ask certain people, resign from your job, and it doesn't make sense. He's saying, look, I'm not necessarily saying that is a template, but it's a unique dealing to you. There is something I want to teach you about Jehovah Jireh, so that you don't go and preach nonsense. And so to teach you that, I need an experience with your own life. And he touched Jacob. And Jacob was now limping. God, you have destabilized my structure for life. I will never be normal again. You have brought me to a point where everybody who sees me will now know I am weak. And God says, it is an honor, not a shame, for people to know that you are weak, because in your weakness, that is when the strength and the power of God comes. So when he deals with you in a way that there is a permanent destabilization of your structure, when men see you, they can know the difference between you and the grace on you. They know that this level of result cannot come from a man by his intellect. Are we blessed this afternoon? And then he says, what is your name? Let's finish up. And he said, Jacob. He says, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob. 27 now. 28. He says, but Israel, for as a prince you have had power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. 29. He says, where are we? Yes, he blessed him there. 30. And the Bible says, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. It means the face of God. He said, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. Now watch this. This encounter was so powerful that by the time we get to Psalm 24, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. It says the walls and they that dwell therein. It says, for he has founded it upon the water. He has established it upon the sea. Right? He now says, who shall ascend? He's talking about stamina. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He says, he that has a clean heart and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his sword to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. As a result, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Then he says, this is the generation of them that seek you in the similitude of Jacob. Jacob now earned a name for himself. Then encounter. That means when you want to encounter God, God's authorized referral is Jacob. Understudy Jacob and learn how men find God. That seek thy face, O Jacob. It is important that our relationship with God be built on truth, be built on conviction. Relationship with God. No. Time consistently with God. There is no man who has a gift of consistency. You create it through passion and hunger. God must find a way of engracing you. It's amazing. And the thing about ministry is, because of the grace that can come upon a man, it is possible that you can be out of touch with God for even a year, and it will only take discernment to know. As far as delivery is concerned, you will continue being accurate and flawless. Lord, bring us to the place where we hunger for you more than pulpits. We hunger for you more than stage lights. We hunger for you more than Rema, Greek and Hebrew. Bring us to the place, oh God, where our hunger, our depth of passion. This has been my drive to this generation. More than preaching, you will never exhaust the dimensions of revelations that you will find in the body of Christ now. You will, if it is miracles, the prophetic, the revelatory grace, let me tell you, there is it in abundance. You will continue to find an unfolding of it. But God is crying for men. Men who desire his face more than the mic. Men who desire his face more than a chance to speak. Oh, I love him sincerely, and I love him more than ministry, more than titles. Hallelujah. If I stop here, it is a good message that the secret to ministry is not really the obsession just about administration and organization. It is powerful. There is a place for that, but they only find their credence when your relationship with God is in place. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? The Bible says, in that day, some will say, we healed in your name. Some will say, we casted out devils in your name. He never said, you are liars. He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Iniquity is not sin. Iniquity is a perpetual, continual state of rebellion against the ways and the counsel of God. Please, this is a call that the body of Christ returns to the place of passion and genuine intimacy. Genuine intimacy. Turn everywhere in your house into an altar of worship, an altar of encounter. Whether it is your bathroom, whether it is your bedroom. I always tell people, you have a garage for your car. You have a place for jewelries, but you must find a place for him. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Use all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Anoint my everything. Use my everything. I release my everything. Take my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Prune my everything. Break my everything. Rebuild my everything. Lift my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me, you have my everything. You have my everything. Let it be a song of worship. You have my everything. You have my everything. Take my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me, you have my everything. Listen, the prize for all of you. Not your heart, not your offering, not even your morning devotion. not your prayer life, not your Bible study. The price for all of God is all of you. It's a realm in the spirit called Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, that is the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God is calling on a generation. God is calling on preachers. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women of God, prophets, apostles, God is calling us to return to the place of encounter, more than a place of sermons, more than a place of prayer meetings. Listen carefully. I do not downplay these things, but everything you give your generation will be an overflow of your encounter, an overflow of your secret place. He says, such as I have, I give. Such as I have, I give. Such as I've seen, I reveal. Thanks very quickly. We can spend all night just digging this, because this, in my opinion, and as simple as this message is really the key. Lose everything in your life, pastor, when you have your relationship with God intact. The life-giving factor in your life is still in place. Job lost everything, lost his influence, lost his children, lost his estates and his possession, lost his health. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. All the days of my appointed time, he said, I will wait. Hallelujah. I believe that a major part of a minister's life should be behind the veil. Everything that is powerful, everything that is glorious, is hidden. When God hides a thing, he reveals the excellency and the worth of that thing. So when your life is excessively exposed as a minister, it's a sign that life is cheapening your grace and cheapening you. Not from a human perspective. Above the mercy seat, below the cherubims, there I will meet with you. There is a location where men find God. His manifested presence is not everywhere. His omnipresence is everywhere. Where can I hide from your presence? But there is a dimension of his presence for intimacy. There must be an atmosphere created by hunger and passion. Hallelujah. Number two, the second key to efficiency in ministry is your message. Your message. When you are preparing for ministry, it is important that you understand not your message. To understand your message, you have to understand the message. I wish I had time, I would have shown you a very interesting story in 2 Samuel chapter 18. You may just write it and go and read it. 2 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible talks about, this was the death of Absalom. And then the Bible talks about two men who were instructed by Joab. One of them, paraphrasing, one of them, please give us maybe from verse, oh dear Lord. Let's see from verse 24 or so. The Bible talks about Absalom, that when they had killed him, they sent a word to David. One of them wanted to run away, 2 Samuel chapter 18 from 24. 18 from verse 24. And then the Bible says one of them, Joab, he wanted to rush to the king to take tidings. And Joab told him, no. Absalom is dead. There is no message for the king now. I will send another person. And yet he insisted and said, I want to go. And the Bible says he ran. David sat between the gates, we are reading. And the watchman went up the roof. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man running alone. Read on. Next verse. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, then there is tiding in his mouth. This is David now. And he came apace and drew near. 26. And the watchman saw another man running. So two men were running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also brings tidings. So two men are running to the king. Let's see what happens. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz was not sent by Joab, but he wanted to go and meet the king. He wanted to do ministry, no message, but he just wanted to arrive at the place. The son of Zadok, and the king said, he's a good man, he cometh with good tidings. 28, please. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, all is well. Look at the message he brought to the king. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against my lord the king. 29. Interesting. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Can you imagine that a man was running to the king? And when he arrived, the king said, what is the message? And he said, honestly, I'm not sure I really understand what brought me here. Now watch what happens to him. This will always be the lot of those who do not stay to understand their message. The king said to him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. There is an explanation to irrelevance in ministry. It is that you have not stayed with God to get a message that is for a generation and for a context of the dealings of God. And you will shadow box and run around. You may also hold conferences respectfully. You may do several things and wonder why a generation is not listening to you, because there is a message. Ahimaaz ran. Let's see the next verse. Let's just finish up. And then behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord had avenged thee this day, all this and that. And when you read on later, he was crying for the death of Absalom. But the point is that Joab sent Cushi, and Cushi stayed to understand the message before he ran. It's important to stay with God until you understand the message. Moses said, I'm not going anywhere. Give me details. What am I going to tell Pharaoh? And he said, when you get to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go. That was a message. God only backs what he sent you to say. It is important. Please, let's understand this. Now, very quickly, oh dear. There are three dimensions of understanding your message. Number one is the Great Commission. This is a message to every servant of God. The Great Commission. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19-20. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19-20 represents what we know to be the Great Commission. That he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So watch this. The assignment is go ye. The location is all the world. The job description is preach the gospel. The object of the sermon is every creature, not man. That means the true gospel should affect everything God created, not just man. If your gospel only affects man, it is not powerful enough. Hidden in the true gospel is the ability to reveal Christ to both animate and inanimate things. That is what makes him truly Lord of all. Are we blessed? Preach the gospel to every creature. The account of Matthew says to disciple nations. Disciple nations, that means mentor people, create spiritual patterns, mentor disciple nation. Hallelujah. So the Great Commission represents the general call for everyone who bears the name of the Lord. But your message will also come, number two, from your dealings with God. Acts chapter 26. When you read the whole book of Acts 26, it was, please give it to us, we'll turn there shortly. Paul was standing before King Agrippa and making defense of the gospel. And Paul began to preach and talk about how that he persecuted the church as a Pharisee. He obtained letter, and it was out of that experience that he had an encounter. So you can get your message from your dealings with God. There are people who go through things, and in the midst of everything they are going through, the message that represents their contribution to the revelation of the Christ is revealed. Our experiences are not a waste. Hidden in our experience is a message to our generation. In fact, in all fairness, one of the ways that you are truly qualified by God to minister to people is that you must have passed through an experience that compels you to be touched with the feelings of the people you are being sent to. It is difficult to be effective, for instance, in the healing ministry, if you do not have a history in your life of having passed through a process that required you to provoke the Rapha dimension of God. Do you know compassion is sponsored by the ability to draw from the history of your experience? There are times you stand before a sick body and you exhaust all the scriptures and you look at this condition, you know, and suddenly God draws from the archives of your things. Remember that at 7 years old, they said you were about to die, and then Rapha came to you, and from that compassion, the power of God is supplied to your spirit, and a miracle happens there. Do not waste your experiences. There is a message. Archive them. They will be used tomorrow to sponsor compassion. Beware of people who are too innocent to bless others. There is a level, there is a track record in your life that must be able to pull out compassion. It will not make sense why they are feeding the poor and the hungry if you have never been hungry. So the Bible says we do not have a high priest who has been touched. Kabahus kadiata. The requirement to be a high priest is not your regalia, it's the ability to be touched with the feelings. There are times you pass through an experience that crystallizes the name of God in your life, and that becomes your message. These things, like Dr. Luke began to write to Theophilus, he told him that the things that are most surely believed among us, every assembly and every congregation must have the things that are most surely believed, the foundation of the conviction of that ministry. A healing ministry that is struggling to understand that God heals is in error, because that should be among the things that are most surely believed. Number three, still on your message. You can get your message by a direct instruction from God. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Please, let's rush. Please give it to us. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. The young boy Jeremiah having an encounter with God and receiving a direct speaking from the mouth of the Lord as to his assignment. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and authorized. Ordination is a system of authorization. I legitimize your operation in this space of the earth as a prophet, and the jurisdiction of your prophetic influence is to the nations. I wish I had time, because one of the things that will the mystery of spiritual jurisdiction, to understand that just because a man is called and anointed, and generically the Great Commission is to the whole world, it does not mean you will be effective everywhere. For every anointing has a measure of jurisdiction for its efficiency. When God wants to honor you, he does three things. One, he increases your influence. Number two, he measures 1,000 cubits and expands your reach in the spirit. Even Jesus had to take people out of certain cities to certain cities to bless them. When he sent them, he said, oh, do not go everywhere, go to the lost tribe of Israel. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 26. Please, let's look at verse 15 to 18. Paul is making defense of the gospel before King Agrippa. Acts 26, 15 to 18. And he said, who am I? He's reiterating his encounter now. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. We are reading to verse 18. He said, but rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have... No, please go back to 17. 17. 16, I meant to say. Yeah, 16. Thank you. For I have appeared unto thee for what? This purpose. To make thee a... Please help me. To make thee a... So ministers are made. Ministers are made through their experience with God. My experience with you has made you a minister and a witness, both of these things that thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto you. Next verse. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send you. 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Are you seeing why the spirit of revelation came so lavishly upon Paul? It came in honor to this assignment, because there is the grace that makes all men see. When Paul began to mentor the church in Ephesus under the influence of this goddess called Diana, Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, don't turn there, he began to give the basis for his apostleship. He said, so that when you read my epistles, you will understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other dispensations, he said, was not given to them, but in this dispensation that God has made it available to the ministry of his holy apostles. And that mystery is to make all men see. There is a grace that makes men see. Talking is not what makes men see. Oratory is not what makes men see. There is a grace that vetoes the intellectual deficiencies in people and ensures that they understand the precepts of God through your lips. It's a grace that makes all men see. But it came through encounters. It is important that we understand not just the Great Commission, but to understand our contribution. Everybody cannot do the same thing. Your grace comes in honor to your message. When Satan fights you, he will fight your message. That's what he's after. He's not necessarily after you. He's after your message. The seed is the word. And when the word was planted, Satan did not look for the farmer. He has always looked for the soil and the seed. Read the Bible. There are a few times when he was interested in the farmer. His assignment was the seed and the soil, the jurisdictions of his oppression. He's obsessing about the seed and to do something about the soil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So your message must be clear. I'm summarizing, and I'm so sorry. I feel so bad because there is a lot to be done. But please understand that your message must be clear. If you are Oral Roberts, your assignment is to take the healing power of Jesus to the nations. This morning, a great grand patriarch of faith, Maurice Cerullo, went to be with the Lord in glory. We honor and celebrate him for what he represented. He had a similar assignment with what God has given you, sir. And he began to mentor nations right from, I think, the 70s or the 80s. He would organize schools of ministries transcontinentally and begin to mentor people. Maybe millions of ministries have come out from that mentorship. Hallelujah. Yes. It is important that people understand their message. There are dimensions. I thank God for the privilege of trusting me with the spirit of revelation. But the grace is not, even though it's an apostolic office, there are things you may never hear me teach about. It is not necessarily because I do not know about them, but I do not know enough to have the apostolic audacity to mentor the body. And I must love the body more than my ego to remain in the boundary that is assigned to me. You see, sometimes stepping into boundaries that our level of grace does not provide accommodation for is where error comes. A fish will only always look stupid if it tries to fly, because it is outside of its jurisdiction. Are we together? I think this is an instructive warning, especially for my generation of ministers. It's important. The pressure to want to say everything and teach everything. No. Believers should mature from the synergy of all the whole counsel of God. But it does not have to come through you. You must have the unashamedness to understand you are only an effective member in the body. And to stay within your spiritual jurisdiction while communicating honor to other dimensions that are not you. So that with that, it is possible that the body of Christ comes into the full counsel of God. But it does not have to pass through you. There are people who carry dimensions. You can imagine people like T.D. Jakes now. The virus and the lockdown has brought glory and stars to his ministry. You see that? Because he is uniquely the apostolic expression of God's grace upon his life, thrives in conflict and thrives in darkness. And so while this is almost swallowing a lot of people, I mean, he's riding on that storm with honor because there is a grace that is upon him. Let me give us the last to tie up this session. The first I said is your life, your relationship with God. The second is your message, the clarity and the detail. Your message determines who should listen to you, and your message determines who would partner with you, not just financially, lifting your hand. It is very important. Number three, the third key when you're preparing for an effective ministry is understand your pattern. Understand your pattern. Patterns are divine strategies for effective execution. Exodus 25 and verse 40, please. God is a God of patterns. You must understand the pattern given to you. Patterns are very, very important. Even when your message may be the same, your patterns are very different, and you must understand. Your divine strategy for effective execution of your assignment. Exodus 25 and verse 40. He told Moses, building the tabernacle, he says, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was shown thee on the mount." I can tell you many people sincerely have missed it because they have gotten their passion right with God. They have gotten the message, but they may not have stayed enough to understand the patterns. There is a dimension of the dealing of God called personalized dealing. There is a dimension of God called doctrinal dealing. God deals with men according to the precepts of doctrine. It is applicable to everybody. But there are personalized dealings. The unique dealing of God that is custom built for where he's sending you. It is dangerous to turn that unique dealing into a doctrine. I have taught it again and again. God can look at me as a person because of my personality and my background and weigh me and say, "Apostle Simon, because of what I think you can do and cannot do, do not have more than 3 cars. It is a pattern that was described for only me. In God's wisdom, he has seen that 3 cars will be the best for my efficiency. That anything outside that, it may affect me. Now, when I take my personalized dealings because of the results that follow from obedience, and now teach it as a doctrine, that when you have more than 3 cars, you are in error. You see, I'm deceiving a generation. We must be able to see between our personalized dealings, especially in mentorship, because those who mentor our lives, if we are not careful to be able to look, this part of my life is not a general rule for everybody. This part of my life came as a result of a unique expression of God's working in my life. So when you get to this junction, ask God, like me, what template is he subscribing for you? If God has called me into the prophetic ministry, it is a joke if you pray only 1 hour. No. In the apostolic and the prophetic, there must be a heavy investment of prayer to build your spirit. But when God calls someone to be a businessman, it is true that he will pray, but he will never be able to stand in that stamina carrying the spirit of prayer and supplication to that degree. And subscribing my pattern to him as proof that he's making progress is a deception, because he will try and struggle. You see, it is important that we are careful, so that while mentoring people, we do not open up patterns that our unique dealings with God. There are people that God can give unique instructions. Don't have more than two children. I have looked at your life and I have seen that if you have more than two children, it can affect the kind of ministry I'm giving you. But for another person, he may not have that prohibition, because there is no doctrine like that in the Bible that creates prohibition. Now, sincerely, sometimes while we mentor people, we may be able to spill over. There are times Paul writes and says, I write as a man. That means, look, you can, if God tells you otherwise, honor him. Paul, there are times he writes from the standpoint of his apostolic office, as touching the grace upon his life. But there were times that he communicated his opinion. We must be careful to let people know which part of our dealing is God's personalized dealing to us, and what part of our dealing is doctrine. Generally speaking, believers are mentored by the doctrine of Scripture. Our experiences are only supposed to support doctrines, not to become a doctrine on its own. Are we blessed? Yes. So the individual biases in terms of our mode of operation in church, in terms of the way we communicate, in terms of the way we relate with God, there are unique expressions to those things, and they are profitable. However, they may not be profitable for every call and every dimension of ministry, but the doctrine of Scripture will build us and give us stature and balance. Then it can now be supported by our experience. It's dangerous to create a doctrine out of an experience. If I was sick one time and I refused to go to the hospital, I fasted for 3 days and suddenly God showed up in a way. If I make a doctrine out of that, only God will tell the number of people who will die. It is better to advocate the compassion of God, including the hospital, as being as an expression of his compassion. Then I can now tell you that, look, in my dealing with God, I found out that there is still an opportunity that you can rise beyond that limitation. However, this is the doctrine of Scripture that you stand upon. Error will be minimized in the body when we focus on the doctrinal character of God more than the individual expression to us. Because our interpretation of those experiences matter. I can have a vision, say in 2000. Imagine my spiritual growth and my life at that time, and then understand the vision in 2025. But from 2000 till 2025, I will be teaching what I think is the interpretation of that vision, and mentor people after that error. Then now have an encounter later on and God corrects me. But those people have gone with that error. I may not be able to call them back and say, hey, I made a mistake for 10 years. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture that is able to make you wise unto salvation. Are we blessed? Divine patterns. God will always have a unique way of working with you. Mark 16:15. Let me round up, please. Please give it to us. There are ways that God works with me. Pastor, there are ways I can know what anointing is in a place. Now, it's going to be difficult for me to teach that as a doctrine. Let me tell you this. There is what I call, please keep that scripture there. There is what I call personalized dealings. When you are in the cave of Adullam being trained by God, there are many ways based on the unique expression of your call. You find out, for instance, for several people, once their hand starts shaking and they feel a lot of heat in the hand, God teaches them that to mean the healing anointing. You cannot generalize it. To someone else, it may mean something else. So just writing a book and saying heat on your hand means the healing anointing, you will corrupt the training of another person. Are we together now? For William Branham, He had an expression of the prophetic that was so powerful. Unfortunately, many videos don't capture it. But William Branham will stand in a meeting with thousands of people and refuse to move because there was an angel that God gave him an assurance with that would always come and signify the revelations. So he would stand there sometimes for a long time, and the people are bored and tired and angry because it was the pattern God gave him. He would stand, but later on you hear him say, now the angel has come, and suddenly he begins to prophesy. Oral Roberts, the pattern given to him was he would lay hands. He would not speak like Benny Hinn and then those who are healed come out. No, even if there are 5,000 people, he would lay hands on them. Patterns. You notice, for instance, that he's playing the instrument for me is a pattern that was given. There are people, this is a distraction based on the pattern given to them. They don't want to hear any sound whatsoever. Now, it's a pattern. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Yes. When Benny Hinn is preaching, you see these cameramen and the rest, he will drive them away. He wants to see prayer warriors and deeply spiritual people. It is not enough to have a message. You must study your patterns. Ensure that you build, but you build according to the pattern. Not the pattern available, the pattern shown you. The pattern shown you. There are people, the power of God is only released in their life when they begin to pray. They can say, let's pray. And when you begin to pray 5, 10, 15 minutes, suddenly they begin to minister. There are others, they will worship for a long time. There are others, nothing will happen at all. They can just break the sermon and begin to preach. It's a pattern. It is important that while we are trusting God to help us in ministry, we stay to learn the pattern that is connected to our graces. Our graces are activated by the patterns that are given. You can be in ministry and never maximize the grace of God given to you because you have not studied the pattern. Different vehicles are switched on in different ways. There are others you push a button. There are others you turn a key. There are others you still do a lot of things. The most important thing is for the vehicle to be on. But there are patterns. When you drive a Golf and when you drive a truck, there are dynamics in the operation. When you bend at the same area, you will capsize that truck. There are times you will have to shift away from the area you want to go and then you turn well because of the size of the truck. But for a Golf, you can even miss the road and then turn again. Just an analogy. We borrow a lot of patterns that do not connect to our graces. And we find out that our lives and our results continue to make people question whether we are called or not. Hallelujah. So while we receive mentorship from people, and while we provide mentorship to many people, we must be able to stay with the Holy Spirit to separate between doctrines and patterns. These and many more are some of the pathways that prepare us for effective ministry. Let us pray. Just two prayer points very quickly. We are going to talk to the Lord. Father, restore my fire and my hunger for you. More than a desire to advance the local assembly committed to me, more than a desire to do ministry as we know, please, I'd like us to pray. Just 2-3 minutes, but don't.
Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. This is the place of surrender. what you want. This is the place of encounter.
Search my heart, O God. I desire a genuine relationship with you that is greater than prophesying, that is greater than signs and wonders, greater than administration and growth and excellence and all of these things. I desire a genuine hunger. Hallelujah. Prayer point number two. You're going to cry to the God of heaven. Clarify my message. I'm tired of being an evangelist today and a prophet tomorrow, just following what I think sells. There are people today who continue to vacillate across the fivefold. They are sincere people, but they've not been able to get clarity. Clarity of message. What is your message? Your message determines who you are sent to. Your message determines who listens to you. You may not be sent to everybody. Lord, what is my message? A representation of my years of dealings with you. A representation of the prophecy that is upon my life. It says, this charge I give unto you, Timothy, that you war a good warfare with the prophecy that has been spoken upon you. Please lift your voice and pray. Lord, clarity. Clarity. Strengthen my message. Let it be loud. Let it be clear. Let it be unmistakable. Me away from fascination. Grant me the grace to stay, to abide in my area of call, teaching the truths that have been communicated to me. My contribution to kingdom come. Last prayer point. You're going to cry, Lord, realign me back to the pattern. The pattern that activates your grace and your workings in my life. Listen, this is where many people miss it. They keep telling you, I have a dream. I know I'm a prophet. I have a dream. I know I'm a worshiper. I have a dream. I know I'm an apostle. Borrowing patterns randomly will only frustrate you. Your grace only glows when the patterns connected to your grace. See, every time the glory of God comes, the glory of God comes, validates that his patterns have been honored. When they built the tabernacle according to pattern, the Bible says, then the Shekinah of God came. When Solomon built the temple according to pattern, the glory of the Lord came. When the glory of God is upon the life of a man, it comes in honor to the fact that divine patterns have been kept. Last prayer point, cry for a revelation of the patterns given to you. Your pastor is walking in keeping with the patterns given to him, especially this year. Patterns. Patterns are not what is popular. Patterns are not what people within your ministerial circle are doing. No. A divinely revealed dimension, a strategy for executing your assignment, a strategy for effective execution.
Like we said, we're just going to go straight to the second, which is going to be an interactive session with Apostle Selman. But before we do that, we have a custom in the house to minister to those who minister to us. You know, we don't manipulate anything here, and we're people of integrity. And Apostle has not asked us to do any of this for him. He doesn't operate that way too, but Galatians 6 said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all things. And it's within that context that he said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. There's an account on the screen. I think they're going to provide us with three. One is for Naira, one is for USD, one is for pound sterling. Everything received in this account for this program is going to Apostle Selma. Everything. And that is our own way of saying thank you. And I encourage all of us to do that generously as we're led by the Spirit, without any pressure on anybody. We are all ministers, especially those of us who are watching. We know what to do. And I just want to encourage us to do that. I think, do we have on the screen? Do we have on the screen now? Okay. Or online. So we can also provide offline for those of us who are here. So the accounts will be kept there. So for as long as the program is, we just want to encourage people. And like I said, everything received to the last cover is for Apostle Sema. It's also a way of us saying happy birthday to him. A few weeks ago was his birthday. So I like God to put something in your heart. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart, knowing fully well that we're not taking anything out of it. We're just going to turn everything over to him by the grace of God as well. We've always done. So I encourage us to sow generously, and God bless you as you do that. The details are on the screen. And one more thing before going to the next session is to also acknowledge. I've also mentioned it in passing in his message, as though he knew we're going to do that. One of the fathers in faith has gone to be with the Lord today, Dr. Maurice Cerullo. If you watch my interview with Pastor Bakari some few months ago, he was still talking about how he met Dr. Cerullo in Lagos, and how he was instrumental to opening up the nations, you know, to him. I preached the first time, and boom, the world of America opened up. After that conference, he had to go preach in 27 states. So we salute this great general of faith. I remember in the early 90s, or mid-90s, 94, 95, then we used to attend TREM at Urbanikoro for Maurice Cerullo's World Conference. You know, we have been around for some time, you know. I mean, that was 94, 95. We all got our TREM way back. In those days for the World Conference, and just like Apostle said, he would teach, it was always a pastoral training. I mean, powerful. So we salute the screen online. We just want to salute this general faith that has gone on to be with the Lord. And that's our own tribute to him, to just thank God for him and for all the saints who from their labor rest in the name of Jesus. And we also see the opportunity to pray for his family and his ministry and all that he has left behind, that they will continue to extend the frontiers of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. So that takes us to the next session. So please, I'd like you to remove this pulpit. And I'm just going to sit down with Apostle Sema. I just ask some few questions, nothing serious. I mean, just to, hallelujah. So this is the second. And don't forget the third. And I believe it's also very important that I mention with the apostle coming up again just to bless as he's led to prophesy. Ministers out there who are not going to break through, who are not going to get certain things done until they are impacted at a particular level, and at a particular frequency. And I believe God has brought a sermon to be able to impart and to be able to pray, to be able to prophesy as he's led by the Spirit. So apostle, just, you know, I like this kind of session because people learn more. You know, when Paul said we don't just preach the gospel, we also preach ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. So there are things within our experiences with God that are also very, very powerful. So I just want to tell us, I want you to tell us how you started. How did you start? I mean, what year was this? What were the dealings? Did he start in a school? And what would that school be? Did he go to a theological seminary? So let's just, I mean, those brief background thing, how the dealings of God with you started, and how you were able to arrest and maximize the economy of what the Lord was bringing to you, you know, in those days of your relative obscurity.
Thank you. Very, very touching.
Please,
question.
Can we give it a more
thank
volume?
You. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, so.
I'm wondering what to omit and what to say because it's a very pregnant question, but I'll attempt to just touch it quickly.
Yeah.
I believe that my call and my operation in ministry, a very unique and unconventional one. I always had the passion for the things of God. I really have had that. I had the privilege of being raised by very godly parents. You know. So I had that moral background right from...
That was in what city?
Joss.
Joss,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
So, and coincidentally, my grandfather was the first president of what we call COKIN, Church of Christ in Nations.
Oh, wow.
Based, yeah, so...
Wow.
So I had I would say that I have a rich heritage of that background, and... My encounters with God started relatively early, but because I didn't have an opportunity, now I'm careful, these are very sensitive questions, but then I didn't have the opportunity to be exposed to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the cultural context, as far as Christianity was concerned, placed emphasis on morality and all of that, which was wonderful, very good foundation. But the ministry of the word in terms of its accuracy and the spirit was not really there. So I had that privilege. And then I think the first real preparation and encounter for ministry happened under the leadership of a dear man who was my principal in secondary school. Yeah, so it was... The strange thing about it was that it was a very small school.
Wow, in Joss?
Yes, you know, Plateau State. Yeah, it was a small school, and so we were not so exposed. And the man, he was an Anglican priest, a reverend. Then he had spent a major part of his training time in the U.S. So he came and he inculcated a lot of values, you know. I can begin to list so many things that he did. So he created that atmosphere. You can imagine being in an environment where, as you are studying, there's a worship song playing in the background.
Oh,
exactly. So
you can
tell. No, I think it was just his personal passion to train us. Wow. The credit should go to him.
Well, he's was an old man. Private school?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yes,
it was. School. Okay.
And so we had that opportunity, and aside from the normal subjects that we studied, I know that we studied a course called Honesty, Morality, and Conscience.
Wow.
You can imagine at that level. And then we studied spiritual growth and all of that.
As part of the curriculum?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And so we were taught to respect people. We had encounters. It was an environment that allowed for a lot of spiritual expression. He was really a father, a mentor. He really built us, even though he was with us for a very short time.
Wow.
But it was quite a great one. So I think I would say, but then I started having lots of encounters from a very, very young age. Very young age. Yeah, I started having several encounters with God. I started having angelic encounters. Now, at that time, because I did not have a system that would explain some of those things.
Wow.
I thought everybody used to have those experiences.
Oh,
you know, unfortunately. You know, it was as though it was everybody's experience. So I think that's I would say those were the foundational moments, and it was quite an impact on my life. What that man did, because he really, really mentored us. He taught us a lot of things. He created a devotional himself.
Wow.
Yes. And so, corporately in the school, we studied specific books at the same time. So there's no such thing as rushing ahead or behind. You had to follow. Had to fast before the school resumed.
Wow.
And then every teacher would have to pray before the lecture starts. Unfortunately, all of these things that I'm telling you died after 1 year. This is so, this is the unfortunate part of it. But I hope that in the near future, I would have the opportunity, if God grants, to build a school that resurrects that model again. It's my dream to be able to come up with something like that, and let God grant us grace to give our children something from the heritage of that which we have. So I think, yes.
So did you go to a seminary?
It was the school doubled as a seminary.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, okay.
If you have an idea, let me use something in the military. You can go to NMS.
Okay.
While it is school, you are still.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, the goal, it was a school that was founded by now Archbishop Benjamin Aga Kwashi. So it was his dream, and he was a bit close to my dad, and he had a personal passion that I become a priest. You know, he just felt that it was a good thing, and I'm still a priest. I mean,
thank God. At least you are still a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Yes.
So I wanted to speak to the impact of fathers and mentors of ministry, of ministers.
Yeah.
As well, young minister, I know you didn't quite capture that
in
this message. One of the things people find difficult to, you know, align with in ministry is who's your father? How do you know who's your spiritual father? And what role do they play? And of course, that of mentors too. And what is the difference between a mentor and a father?
It's a very difficult question. I wish the answer were easy. It's difficult because fatherhood and mentorship is like a double-edged sword. It depends on how it is held. But I do not believe that anybody can sustainably rise, not just in ministry, in any aspect of life, if you do not have an opportunity and a platform to be guided and mentored by one who has gone ahead, provided that. The disadvantage of mentorship is that you will conform to the beliefs, the mindset, and all of the person ahead of you, which has played its, you know. So there is a balance. The concept of fatherhood and mentorship is not a concept that I've talked so much about, and I have my reasons for it, because for those who were raised in the Southwest, most of the churches there were owned, established by, in terms of the responsibility of administration, there was a single individual. Now the background that allowed that, you understand, it was an extremely conservative background, so you only had access to a pastor for maybe 2 years at the max, and he, so within 10 you would have 6, 7, 8 people. So the idea was, I found it strange when I started ministry and I saw the idea of mentorship and then fatherhood. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm saying that for someone who came from the Middle Belt, or North, as many people would want to see it, it's not a concept that is very easy with a typical Middle Beltan, because the Anglican context does not allow that kind of thing. To be a pastor's son, then automatically you have the opportunity, or if you are privileged, to have people who are close to you. But it was not a normal thing to just have people easily who can guide you. It was a responsibility left to your parents and left to your seriousness. If you were serious enough, you would. But then, generally speaking, I believe in fatherhood. I believe in mentorship. The most important thing in mentorship is the ability to get the mindset and the information of the mentor. The difference between fatherhood and mentorship is that in mentorship, the information is your goal. But in fatherhood, the relationship is your goal. You can be mentored by a man's book. You can be mentored by a dead man. But fatherhood will require an active participation in your life. Number two, mentorship has to do with your vision. Fatherhood has to do with your entire life. Can mentor you in the area of finances. Someone can mentor you in the area of ministry. But a father has the exclusive privilege of being in aspect of your life. Now, in pragmatic, rather you say, who is your mentor? And that is not, it may not be limited to a person. There are many privileges of fatherhood, the leverage that comes from their credibility, and some come from that spiritual tribe you are connected to, and a lot of other things you're opportunity to guide, to counsel at a more personal level. They are not just interested in dispensing information. They give you an opportunity to see their scars, to learn, and all of that. So that is very important. Provided the patterns are kept. Now, I will quickly want to observe respectfully that fatherhood, when not guided, fatherhood does not just mean someone ahead of you. No. I believe the same way you don't sit down and cross your leg and select an earthly father. It is a connection that happens by grace. Yes. Most times in its original context from scripture, a father is one who begat you in the gospel.
Yeah.
That means one who gave birth to you in the gospel. But it's not always true, pragmatically speaking. Because if you were born within a circle whose belief you no longer, or whose pattern is not similar, you may have to trust God to get... I also believe that there are requirements for fatherhood. And people... Age is not necessarily the proof of fatherhood, and being in ministry ahead of someone is not necessarily a proof today because they have fathers or mentors. Now, let me observe, if you will lend me one more minute on this issue. I think that the fatherhood and mentorship system in Africa requires, respectfully speaking, a total overhaul. There is a very gross deviation from God's pattern. The idea of fatherhood in Africa, and I say this, I love the body of Christ. My position about honor to ministers and the body of Christ is one that has been established. So I speak from a standpoint of love and respect. But I think that the demands that the understanding of fatherhood and mentorship in Africa, that you are in a position where you have no will of your own, you are in a position where you must subscribe to the pattern that is given, otherwise there is some cause, something that is waiting for you. There are financial remunerations that come that you are not necessarily in control of. These are excesses. And some of those things are honestly insecurities from people.
Yeah.
That they just, people have been in bondage. I've counseled people who, because of fatherhood, they can be told by a father, relocate to another place, is an instruction. Some, maybe leave your wife, is an instruction. There are people who the fathers demand details of their finance, details of their private life with their maybe husband's wife, details of church membership variation. So just speaking a yes and a no answer may be destructive, because while you are establishing a point, you may be endorsing somebody that needs to run for his life.
What you said is profound. Profound. And in the scripture, we do not have many fathers.
Yes.
Just like we do not also have many sons.
That's true.
So what do you do, Apostle? Now, let me make a disclaimer here. The disclaimer here is that we're not making this a doctrine. I just want to, ask Apostle what he does privately to build capacity, to build stamina. So I would like to say, what is an average day like for you? What are those things that you do? How do you pray? How do you study? Because, give it to you by the grace of God, you have a unique insight into the world. And
thank you,
I can relate, with that. It takes hours of laboring in the word, praying, one breaks into these things. So on every day, what do you do? And what I'm saying that is that without making a doctrine out of that, or trying to legislate that this is the only acceptable, and that's why I made that disclaimer. People can also learn from that. What do you do? Because Paul also showed Timothy and Titus the patterns, you know. I mean, this is what I do, this is how I handle this. So when we look at spiritual capacity and stamina, what are those things that you do from time to time, you know, that give you this edge?
Okay. In truth, there are really no secrets, as it were.
Okay.
The principles that govern spiritual growth and stamina were seen in the life of Jesus,
yeah,
and were seen in the early church.
Yeah.
Primarily, it is the ministry of the word and prayer that is responsible for building people.
Amen.
It just comes in different variations,
yeah,
but that is the basis, and that from a child.
Yeah.
Thou hast known the Holy Scripture that is able unto salvation.
Yeah.
So I, number one, I take my assignment seriously.
Wow.
I really take it seriously. I have the privilege of, I've had encounters that continue to burn in my heart the seriousness of the unique privilege that God has given me to serve this generation.
Yeah.
And I understand that many people are depending on my spiritual growth and my spiritual health.
Amen.
So that in itself, primarily I'm driven by my love for God.
Wow.
And then I'm the awareness of the responsibility, the demand that comes with this grace and with this calling.
Yeah.
So I spend time praying. I spend time studying. Not just scriptures. I study the body of Christ.
Mm.
It's part of the apostolic responsibility.
Wow.
To be able to study the body of Christ and to help by his humanity.
Yeah.
He was hungry. He
yeah.
caused the fig tree. He flogged people in the temple. I mean, this is Jesus, your Jesus, our Jesus. So the Bible said, let this mind be in you. It also includes the fortitude to just admit that, look, we're human beings and all of that. So that is my first message to men of God. But to balance it up, the second is we must know that there is a grace that provides for a level of excellence that is not human. So in as much as we admit that we are men, we must not be, respectfully, we live in a day and age that downplays, makes it look like what is there to have revelation, what is there to be anointed, is it really true healed, is it really true that people are getting blessed, you know, sometimes, and it reduces ministry to just a social welfare program.
Right.
So if you want to be accepted globally, it's just to the degree to which you conform to a charity type work.
Yeah.
And that is profitable, but we are divine people.
Hallelujah.
The excellency of the workings of the Spirit in us, and we should not be apologetic for the investment of the Spirit upon our lives.
Amen.
No matter what it is. So in as much as we let people know that we are earthen vessels, but we must finish that scripture, that there is the excellency of power that is at work in us. And so I want to encourage men and women of God that ordinary ministry in this day and age will only lead to frustration.
Wow.
And anger and jealousy and all the other fruits that come with ministry.
Mm.
There is space for everyone to press to a level of fire, of power, grace. Most of the dimensions that are given to individuals is for the edification of the body.
Mm.
And through honor and meekness, people can outsource these graces to improve their own lives. So I think it's very important that ministers understand that there is a divine dimension to us and we must contend for it and carry out supernatural ministry. And then finally, I would want to say that I think it's very important also for to understand that the best of us is only an effective member in the body. That no single individual sustains the ability to have and communicate the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
I appreciate God for what he's done in my life and what he's doing, but I am only an effective minister. And I must be able to, I must intentionally let the body of Christ know that no matter how accurate my alignment is, I do not have the whole counsel of God. And I must be able to be faithful in the dimension communicated to me. But as I mentor people, I must be able to let them know that, look, you must expand your appetite to receive of other dimensions that are in Christ, in the body, but may not be available in my life as far as dispensing that dimension is concerned. Because There is a bias, and I taught that the last time during the revival series. There is a bias that happens to men when God deals with them. If God is calling me to the prophetic ministry, most of my dealing will be centered around discernment, the ministry of the spirit, warfare, deliverance. The curriculum of my dealing will not capture things like administration, excellence, networking, and all of that. Now, if I come out from that experience and God allows that bias or that limitation to make me need other members of the body. So, but if I mentor people from the template of my limitation, just because I have results in my area, you will find out that administratively the church is down. In terms of leadership and excellence, it is down. But in the area of the core delivery of the grace, you are doing well. But the people you mentor may not be able to embrace the whole counsel of God. So I must be able to say, look, I may not be graced in this area, but this area is useful for your life. So I will be faithful in communicating mine, and I will applaud you when I see you open-heartedly searching out for the other dimensions that bring completion to the body. Now, I admit we are humans. We just admitted it. And sometimes it is difficult, actually men, the male, you know, we are achievers. And we like it when we receive the applause that makes, you know, people sometimes send me a text and say, Apostle, you are such a great man. I've never had any man like you. I understand what they are trying to say. That revelation remains sustained in their minds because they will be very limited. If the whole world has only Joshua Selman, three things will happen. The whole world will be in great error. Number two, the whole world will be very limited. The whole world will only be effective in the area committed to me.
Wow.
So it must start from me. I must have the unashamedness to be able to salute what is happening in the body in a very vocal way, like what you are doing, what several men of God across the world are doing. Now I know that in terms of our personal press into God, and in terms of our level of seriousness, our level of alignment, and our accuracy of delivery, there are differences. And we must admit that. There are people who are serious, there are people who are not serious, unfortunately. We can't generalize and clap for everybody. There must be room to challenge ourselves. But then the truth still remains that we must be able to love the growth of the body of Christ so much that we are happy when they grow, even when that information does not come from us. And you want to unashamedly guide their health. But then sometimes those things go to the extreme and then it just becomes insecurity. So this would be my threefold encouragement to pastors.
Powerful. Yes, sir. Powerful. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure.
This is also a bit personal. You are still single.
Yes.
How do you handle the issue of sisters? And that is also a lesson for young ministers in the sense that I may see how God has helped you. And I can relate with that because I also know one or two people who had a similar deal with God, and by the grace of God rose into the purpose of God for their lives before they married. So for your ministers and for yourself, someone like you, how do you balance that side? I mean, to be focused, to be single, and how do you deal with sisters?
I think the issue of intentionally to say, I want to destroy, there are people like that, but I think what happens is that the devil takes advantage of the vulnerability and the compassion of both the leader and the people involved. Because once you are emotionally connected to people, for instance, you have a sister or someone in the church or the fellowship, and you know about their background. You know about what they've gone through. You understand the peculiarity of their dealing, and they've been open to you on that wise. Naturally, you will be soft-hearted towards those people. And even when they misbehave, from the lens of what you know about them, you will express a lot of compassion. Now, that compassion can become dangerous. That is why you must balance it with values. Values like counselings, You know, ladies, you don't just invite sisters to say, come to my house, come and help me cook rice, cook beans. It may not be seen, but you are near Sodom. The Bible says when Lot, he didn't go into Sodom. He stayed near Sodom.
Yeah, Sodom.
By the time Abraham would come to rescue Lot, he was in the middle of Sodom. So sometimes it's important to standards and values. I believe that when you have values and you are strict on it, even though many people may misunderstand you, but eventually you will get... And it's more dangerous today because of the presence of social media.
Yeah.
You know, there are all kinds of platforms that create connections and all of that.
Yeah.
And the devil is really out to see how he can discredit ministers and bring, you know, people down through this avenue. So I think the key is to set very strict values. Let me give maybe three or four. Generally, you can have a standard like, okay, you will not counsel a single sister alone. For instance, or in the night. These are very good principles. And now, I want to say something respectfully, and I don't mean to hurt the body or something. I think there is a bit of balance that we need to put, or addition to what we know to be the communication of the grace of God. Because I think that if not checked a bit, that may be an area that the devil may take advantage of. If the concept of the grace of God is not properly understood, it can become a license for licentiousness. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes. I don't mean to, you know, that sense of God does not condemn people, but the consciousness of right and wrong is important. We have traffic lights, even though we are intelligent people. The traffic lights help to bring coordination. So those kinds of things, because sometimes, for as little as what I've said, is for many people, they can feel, what is the meaning of that? You know, there is the grace of God that grants you grace to say no to this, but pragmatically speaking, you are also a psychological being. And biology and psychology plays its role in our lives. So sometimes creating some of these standards will help us. If you are living with a lady, for instance, that you are not married with, you don't have to do anything wrong for it to destroy you. The psychological torture of the imagery you are giving room to will frustrate your prayer life, will frustrate your concentration, will frustrate a lot of things. And then it will give room for so many things. So this, generally, my encouragement for people, especially we young ministers, and then most especially people who are single and not married yet, I think that the encouragement will be, create standards. Trust God for grace. It's easier said than done, in all fairness, but I think it's good to create standards. And then number two, be visionary. In the Bible, vision helps people to stay on course. Lack of vision is what sponsors distraction. There is a way you can be so visionary, you look at your watch, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Next time you check, it is 10 p.m. Because you are so engaged, you have sermons to prepare, you have several things to do. When you are excessively idle, you have to pick your phone. From checking a sermon, you go to a video you should not go to. You see that from there, before you know it, until you are in Sodom. So these are some of the things we are talking about. I think the key is standards. And then number two, build a community of like-minded people. Having a kingdom community is the key to sustaining kingdom values. Working in isolation is very dangerous. A community life creates a healthy system of check. So that is very. Practice periodic retreats. I am shocked, in all honesty, at the fact that people can be busy in ministry for a very long time and not have. I'm not talking of the usual weekly retreat or these just 2 hours where most of it you are sleeping. I mean a serious heartfelt retreat from the depth of your heart, where you stay with God. And when you are with God, don't tell lies. Don't go to God as a man of God. You go to God sincerely. Now, it's easy for you to clap for me as Joshua Selman and so it's only God that knows the truth about me.
Yeah.
So when I go to God, the one who I cannot hide, I say, okay, God, please deal with me. And God can say, okay, be careful. Lust is growing in your heart here. Pride is growing in your heart here. Maybe pressures are mounting on you and maybe your prayer life is not as effective as that. And I say, okay, God, thank you. Supply the grace for the next level. The key to being sustained in ministry is to be truthful to yourself. Very truthful to yourself. And when you go before God, you are sincere and honest. If you go to God as MOG, you go to God as a colleague in ministry, very soon things will go bad. You must, when I go to God, I go with an open heart and I go very sincerely, search my heart truthfully, oh God.
Hallelujah.
And anything God tells me, whether I have proof for it or not, I believe it. If I go before God now and God says you are an armed robber, I believe him. I will not say whose money did I steal. I will start rolling on the ground and say, show me mercy before I disappoint myself. Because you know God does not have future. Everything is, his realm is now. So when God speaks, some of what he's saying will not be in your now.
Wow.
But it's a possibility that is enshrined in you, like a DNA. So you kill it before it destroys you in the future. The key is honesty, that transparency. I think we need to be more transparent. Human beings don't have that fortitude to show us mercy. So we must go to the one who is able to take us just as we are and build us. So that would be my...
Thanks as an opportunity to just clarify the matter.
Okay.
So what exactly are you trying to communicate? So
okay.
That people will have that. And we just laid to rest.
It's important. Unfortunately, I'm not on social media.
Yeah, so that's why.
Most of all these things,
that's why I'm asking, because I know you're not.
But two things. Number one, you see, it is not necessarily the correctness or the wrongness of what I've said that is the issue. It is the fact that when you seek for truth with an open heart, it with me, you will still find it in the body.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let's assume that I'm totally wrong and everything I've said is nonsense. No problem. Does that really become a basis for you to be in error? There are many more accurate voices than me in the body.
Yeah.
And if your goal is really growth, the Holy Spirit is more loving. He's too loving to allow one people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to probe the motive behind those things.
Yeah.
We are men. And so before addressing it, no matter how wrong, let's assume that it's even the whole sermon that is nonsense. If I die today, Joshua Selman, or if all my messages are edited completely from the internet, it's just the unique expression of the grace of God upon my life that will be missed. Spiritual growth will continue. So I don't think I should be such a big deal. Thank God for the influence that I have. But when people begin to add God, for instance, in a way and coin out maybe sentences, phrases and all of that, speaking through a vessel. Now, I'm saying in an instance where, because even if this is wrong, this will not be the last wrong thing I will say. That is the honest truth. You get the point now. Doctors every day, and we go to the hospital and call them doctors, we call them professors, we give them awards, they receive Nobel Prizes. I mean, be fair on men of God. Now, where there is a problem is where when the man of God stands as an absolute authority and now says, what I'm saying is absolute, don't listen to anybody again. Now, that's a problem. Anybody who knows me, I have always been open and truthful to tell people, look, I am only an effective member of the body of Christ. Number two, I am also a student in the school of the Spirit. And when I communicate my dealings, I communicate them based on several things. Now, correcting, let me use the opportunity to say this and then I'll now address the issue. Correcting the body of Christ is an office.
Wow.
Just because you observe error or imbalance or mistake does not give you the credence. Because this is the mistake all around. Pulpits are full of everybody trying to correct everybody. No. Correcting the body of Christ is an office. And the first requirement of that office is love. Not power, not revelation. You see that? Our children will edit what we are calling Rema today. The same way we are editing the revelation of the fathers. As at the time they received, respectfully speaking, fathers like Papa Hagin, when they wrote what they wrote, you know, I remember Papa Hagin saying something like, the anointing of the Spirit only flows through a cloth or material. I remember years ago when I was in ministry, I asked somebody to go and stand at the end of the wall. And I touched the wall from here, and they went to carry him on the ground. And I said, the wall is not a piece of paper. I was just trying to show the excellency. Now, if I attack Papa Hagin, I'm stupid, because I am growing, and our children will edit what we now see. It says, this present truth. So, I don't know who the gentlemen are who edited that, but the first thing I want to tell them is, I love you. I do not believe, whoever you are, the pastor or the media people, I don't believe that you are intentionally trying to maybe show my heart. And I know that you are probably doing your best that you know to be a contribution to the body of Christ. I salute you for the courage to even be able to come there. That's number one. I also salute you for the opportunity to be able to detect what you think is an area of controversy. My only observation may be that next time is wiser and better to make effort to reach, to try to say, okay, sir, you preach this. And while listening to you, I made an observation. Would you want to shed light? Demonstrates rebellion and demonstrates hard-heartedness. Then it now qualifies you to say, okay, look, I think this is rebellion, because the person, whoever is saying that, does not have both the moral and the spiritual credence vet all of that. With all humility, most likely someone else who loves me will challenge you and say, where are your results? And you see, it's not whether you are for me or against me. No. Being for me and attacking the man does not profit me. It will still hurt the body generally. So we must love the growth of the body more than our reputation. I don't have a problem being criticized. I don't have a problem looking controversial. No. I'm a man. If I die, you only cry for 7 days, try to raise me back to life. Eventually, you throw me and life continues. So I think that there are many messages from the most accurate of any man. There are messages that you may pick certain things that you feel, based on the mentorship you have received, on your doctrinal standpoint, it is an error. I think it's wise and better that when you do want to administer those things, it must be very vocal that the love of God is seen in you. And you must also be sure that what you are saying is not something you will regret tomorrow. Because we see in part. So in a bid to correct somebody, do not error yourself. But as far the, you know, it's the cross of the apostolic ministry. It will be very childish for a man of God who has a measure of influence to be surprised when you're...
You know, Apostle, you're speaking, I'm sorry for cutting you. People wonder also why I entertain some things on my social media handles.
Yes.
You know, I preach, I say, and people come, and you see me having conversation with them, you know. But all I just say is that, don't use rude language, don't be abusive, let's discuss.
Well, most times, you see, Pastor, most times, the people who try to challenge different men of God, the truth of the matter is that, for most of them, I think it's just the frustration that comes with not getting sufficient results, in all honesty. And when that frustration becomes outspoken, they secretly seek for a chance to find something that becomes a you know, an anchor to authorize, and they will find it. You see, there is a difference between coming from a standpoint of love.
Yeah.
You see that? And yeah, coming from a standpoint where you are trying to show that, oh, you are clapping for this man. Let me tell you, he is not worth that clap because of this. So, there are many ways to correct. Yeah. The goal is to try to tell a generation you are hyping this honor too much, so you delay it, which is unnecessary, because honor is a grace. There's a difference between honor and respect. You see, you can respect yourself, but you can't honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by an authority higher than you. You see, so these are some of the things, but for the thing I said, I remember the statement that he said I made in a pastor's church. I will not want to mention his name. He's a man I respect dearly. So we're talking on doors. And so I was speaking about portals and the prophetic implication of portals. And I was saying that there are certain territories, the way we have mineral resources, there are certain territories that when God wants to announce you, he will cause your feet to make contact with those territories. You see that? Now, I didn't teach it as a doctrine. It's a doctrine. Paul will say, I say this as a man. You are subject to your interpretation of it. And everything I said in that sermon is not wrong. So if you think this is wrong or your revelation is higher than what I've said, just jump it and be edified by the remaining things that are there. You know? And if you have to edit the video, maybe for your consumption, my videos are free online, you can edit that part as far as your consumption. I think it's too small. It was a statement that was not more than, you know, all of that. But for all the people, let me say this, for all the people who love me and may try to attack that person, leave our apostle, no, please don't be hard on them. Give people a chance to be wrong too. He is wrong. Is wrong. So if I am wrong and he corrects me in a wrong way, let us show the excellency of what the love of Christ can do. So first, I salute his courage to make the observation, whatever observation. And second, I pray for him that he will not reap the harvest the way he has sown the seed.
It's not even just one person.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Of course, only God knows the number of... It's not these things, you see. The sacrifice of the fathers should teach us lessons. There is a level of success you cannot get to and have everybody clap for you. And it is important. It is important that variety of observation is there. So you cannot only love people who agree with you. No, people have a right to disagree. It helps people to grow, because when people see where they disagree with you or your revelation, it gives them room to go and study. And it helps the people you are leading to be Bereans themselves. So probably that whatever it is now may have made somebody who listens to me and loves me so much to say, look, let me now settle down and listen. If I make a mistake or I say something wrong to the body of Christ, believe me, but I'm not too proud and arrogant to say, body of Christ, this is how I saw it yesterday. Now I've seen clearer. I'm sorry, and all of that. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We're advocating a dimension of God that is very real. We're not acting. You see that? So that was what I was trying to say that spoke about Abe Okuta and Lagos, this. I still believe that conviction is largely true. It never comes above the authority of Scripture. But I am telling you from a prophetic standpoint that some of those truths hold. But at the same time, I respect the revelation of everyone. You know, I don't know what God has shown them, and maybe I will learn from them tomorrow. I'm sure I would like to listen to the message of the people who did that post to hear what God has shown them. I'm a learner and I'm a student. I'm sure that tomorrow I'll hear what God has said, and I will be more than grateful to tell them thank you. And I'm not just saying it in a sarcastic way. I'm saying it sincerely. If I study their message today and I shone higher than what he has shown me, with all humility I will receive it, I will adjust, and I will thank them. You see, all the people who are under my spiritual influence would have been blessed by them. The only challenge, and this is a message to the body of Christ, find joy in bringing others down to show you are up. You see, it will make people hate you, because it will end up creating controversy. The people that like that man of God
or that woman of God will end up attacking you in honor of the person they love. So it becomes for Apollos. If the whole world stands against me to throw those people now and criticize them, the body of Christ has not profited. So I must love the body more than my passion and my ego. This is the dimension of fatherhood and leadership we are introducing by God's grace to the body, that we must love the body more than our reputation. I'm a human being. I can make mistakes. You see that? I can preach something that, based on the light I saw at the time I preached, I probably didn't get it right. No problem. The most important thing is that we must approach ministry as when they are sincerity to have the fortitude to come and preach and then say, well, I appreciate what you have seen, but I think there is a higher light like this. So submit to it. Rather than coming online and criticizing, why don't you do a little podcast, a video of the say, okay, apostle or any man of God for that matter, this is what you said and I don't agree with this. And since this is what I think is the correct position, let me do a little Bible study for you. 10 minutes. Send it to your media team and say, let this be a gift to apostle with love from me.
Apostle.
A fellow apostle or prophet in the body of Christ. Believe if I and I listen to it, it will take me back to my Bible. And I look and I see that, wow, okay, it's true. What this guy said, I didn't see the light. I will first call him. And I'm the kind of person who can acknowledge them publicly. I'm not ashamed to do that. I will say, look, Pastor so-so-so or Prophet so or Apostle this or whoever it is, thank you very much for contributing to my spiritual growth. And thank you for helping me align in a greater sense of accuracy. So that now I can teach the people. You understand? So I think that's how we should approach it in the body, not to attack and do. It doesn't.
You have nailed it.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy, Apostle. We've never talked about this. And you just said exactly what we do. That's how we approach the matter.
Yes.
We don't. And that's why, you know, some of the people that looked at, by the time you give them the opportunity of listening to them, a lot of them are friends now.
Oh, yes.
You know, we even go ahead beyond Facebook to say, this is my phone number, call me. Let's have it. He brings his perspective, and you bring your perspective. Because what I found out over the years is that people don't listen to the whole message. They just take 1 minute out.
That's right.
And at times, if you don't listen to the flow, and you just take that 1 minute out, you take it out of context.
That's true.
And you begin to, and you see some of the people that promote some of these things don't share the entire message. They just take a clip out. And they're like, oh, he's wrong here. How can he say this? How can he say that? And they begin to fight it. Let's learn from what he just said now. And I think he has.
Let me just say this, just a minute or so on that. The truth is that some of these people that look like enemies or look like controversial people, it's just their approach that may be wrong. Approach. Some of them may be very well-intentioned people. In fact, you should give them believe that they will intentionally get up. Of course, you cannot rule out the fact that there may be few who may just... But I want to give the benefit of doubt. We are believers. Yeah. And a believer is not just one who has faith in God. A believer is one who walks by love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, not when you preach well, and so on and so forth. So I think that there is no problem with that. I will want to encourage those people. Let me say this. When you feel that my message or any man of God's message that you respect, there are perspectives in it that you don't agree with, that's all right. Don't think it is a shock. It is not a spirit talking. It's a man who is talking as inspired by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We see in part, we can make mistakes, or you can be the one making mistakes. You know, and all of that. So in any case, the key is to sustain the love. In fact, I would recommend this. If you think a man of God has made a mistake that you think can be misleading to the body of Christ, don't come on social media to attack the person. Rather, this is my proposition. Take it as Joshua Selman's proposition. Make a video of what you think is correct and send it to him. Or do a Bible study, a little PDF of a Bible study, a correct exegesis of the truth. And then I want to encourage men and women of God, when people challenge you, sometimes they may challenge you in a harsh way. They may go on to say a lot of other things that have no business to, you know, they can challenge you and attack you and now start attacking your church, attack your members. Be calm. Don't fight back, and encourage those who love you too to not fight back in a, you know, some of those things may not help. But I think it's wise, do a little Bible study.
Yeah.
And you can say something like, okay, man of God, I appreciate you for the teaching. I listen to this teaching or that one. I appreciate you. However, you said A, B, C. And I think based on my level of growth, I think that I have my reservations. Don't say you are wrong. You are misleading the body of Christ. Yeah. This error is bad. By what standard do you think you are right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You see that now. So, yeah. So that's my encouragement.
In fact, Apostle, yes. I applaud.
Thank you.
You have just prescribed the remedy. And let him the heart hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Final question, sir.
Yes.
Let me thank you again, because I'm not sure whether you have done this before, putting you on hot seat and asking all these questions, and be your advice for startups in ministry, those who are just about to start their work. What kind of things should they be doing? And let me also say this up front, Apostle, we can't finish this today. So in front of the whole body of Christ, again, as you are led by the Spirit, and as I don't, like you said, it can't be a one-off.
Yes, that's
but
true.
We also understand the uniqueness of other things God is doing with you. So those who are starting out, what should they do? What should be the emphasis? Especially those who are just about to start out,
okay,
or just who are just recently,
okay,
started their work.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much. Let me just still out this time to really honor and appreciate you. Thank you so much. I do not take for granted this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Two things. For those, I expect, for everyone who wants to start ministry, I expect that he should currently be connected to a body of believers of some sort. Maybe a pastor in a church and all of that. The first thing is, do not start ministry just because you think you observe something in the current church you are in that needs to be corrected.
Oh, wow.
It is a dangerous motivation. It will look inspiring at that point, but you'll be frustrated eventually. Let me say it again. That means that, let's assume the gentleman who said those things about me was a member of my church or my ministry. Just because you detect error, balance, and a number of faulty things in a church, you shouldn't just in anger say, look, I don't pray this way, I don't sing this way, I don't preach this way, God is no more here. You hear people say that, and I think I need to leave and go and create somewhere where God is. Now, you will succeed for a while, but it's like you are drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Wow.
You see that? So the motif and the motivation must be serious and truthful. I will tell you that a number of ministries don't start necessarily because the call or the timing was right.
Wow.
They are angry at something or someone who did something within the ministry. Some of them may say, I was not given enough platform to preach.
Wow.
Some of them may say, maybe they are downplaying. And they may be right, sincerely speaking, in some cases. But whatever the issue is, leaving a ministry with a narrative as though God is not here, this, I think you people are not accurate, I've seen more, I've seen farther, it's a dangerous seed you are sowing. Wow. Because the harvest is always greater than the seed. So that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I will tell ministers who want to start up, be sure that you are starting ministry because there is a real mandate upon your life. Mm-hmm. And there is a message. Mm-hmm. You have a message that is independent of what is right or wrong in your current ministry.
Wow.
You see, your message cannot be to correct what your pastor said that is wrong. Mm. That's not a mandate that is long enough for ministry.
Wow.
That's number one. Number two is that you must ensure that where you are under an authority. Now, let me say this. Pastors and ministers, prophets and leaders are human beings. Just because they are anointed of God, they have emotions. It is unfair to tear down a man's ministry, paints the man bad. You see that? Try to, many pastors around the world
And Pastor Dele, I'm sure that many people may have spoken to you on this. And let it be an encouragement, lovingly speaking, to the body of Christ. Many people are bleeding today in ministry because those who left their ministry, the way they left, it was not a good model. No matter what it is, how right or wrong a man of God is, when that man of God has invested in your life and invested in your growth and poured himself or herself, honor the history, even if you don't honor the future.
Wow.
Honor the fact that that man or that woman of God poured their lives, their time. Anybody who is really in ministry knows that it takes the grace of God. Collapse yourself, you know, and all of that. So that would be my encouragement, sir.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I want to also thank the viewers. It's been over 3 hours now that we've been doing this. And that's going to take us to the last part of the event, which is the apostle is going to minister. I believe God has put in his heart. But before he does that, I want to remind us again, and I believe that is on the screen, that we are receiving an offering for Apostle by the grace of God. So please, if you are just joining, they'll put the account on the screen. And like we said, everything received is going to him and to his ministry to support what God. So it's a love offering, if you care. And we're people of integrity, everything received, as it's received, is just going to be turning. We're not going to divert any for any reason. So that said, that's just to remind us. I believe the technical people will continue to roll that so as to give people opportunity to do that. So Apostle, I think we're getting to the last part now. The floor is open, sir.
Thank you so much.
As you are led by the Spirit.
Amen.
As minister.
Thank you.
Yes,
I want to appreciate all of you much. All who have believe, and I want to trust that it's been a moment that has contributed to our spiritual understanding and has helped to equip us for ministry. I want to pray. The Bible says every house is built by someone, but then it says God is the builder of everything. I wish I had time to teach some more on the principles that prepare people for ministry. One of it is spiritual empowerment. I believe in the place of spiritual empowerment. Jesus told the apostles, he said, when they were now disciples, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts chapter 2 now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord. Then the Bible says, suddenly they saw what looked like cloven tongues as of fire. It came and rested upon, were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they began to speak in tongues, you know, as the Spirit gave them utterance. I do not believe that ministry can be done in the strength of the flesh. No. So one scripture, and then we'll pray just a few minutes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Please take it higher for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay.
where your help has come. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. We're about to pray. 9 and verse 8. Very powerful scripture we're about to pray. It says, and God is able to make. The first thing is that God has an ability, and that ability can make all grace. My definition of grace is every good and perfect gift that comes from above, routed through the office of the Christ and made available to the saints for efficiency. Every dimension, he can make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he's talking about sufficiency, and he's saying that grace is multifaceted, and that in the multifaceted nature of grace, God is able to make that grace abound. Listen, let me tell you this, and I hope I'm not misunderstood, but my life is a testimony of encounters, Pastor. We do not build the conviction of the saints, like I said, based on encounters and personalized dealings. The doctrine of scripture is the primary foundation upon which the believers are built. However, encounters are support systems. They do not deviate from the character of Christ. They are consistent with the modus operandi of the kingdom. So it's safe to share them while building believers. My life is full of encounters. I have met Jesus. I have had encounters with some of the saints that have transcended in glory. I have had encounters with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I do not brag as though these things are done in the strength of the flesh. Everything God gives to Jacob, it is because he wants it to light upon Israel. And in one of the encounters, if I would share, where Pastor, I've said it again and again, he stretched forth his hands to me and light came from him and entered into me. And in one other encounter that I would have, he told me that from today I give you my presence, my Shekinah, as a gift. And then I see this being, this angel that stands before me, and then she's called the angel of the Lord's presence. I didn't even understand, you know, all of those things, those dynamics, the things that were happening. And then the Lord instructed me and said, everywhere he would send me to, whether within this nation and around the world, the light that came from Jesus to me, he said there will always be somebody in that meeting that light must come to. You see, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It is this light that has graciously granted access to spiritual illumination. All of the miracles, the signs and the wonders that have been privileged to be a conduit that God has brought to the lives of literally millions of people around the world have come because of these encounters. And no man takes this honor to himself. This is of God. But then at the same time, there are requirements for receiving impartations. I wish that these things are not true. The first requirement for receiving impartation from a man of God is discernment. If all you see is just a body doing ministry, you will never receive anything. The Bible says, he that receives a prophet in the name as touching that office will receive a prophet's reward. A prophet is not only a prophet. A prophet is a brother, is an uncle. He may be a businessman. He may be a father. He may be a husband. The dimension you discern is the dimension that flows to you. If you discern a brother, what you will get is a brotherly reward. So it's important. Elijah told Elisha, if you can see me, that means if you discern the system that I represent. And here's what he said, my father, the chariots of Israel. That means you single-handedly, you are the protector. God has given you a key that defends his interest in the similitude of the chariots of Israel. And You know, he received things that changed his life, and you can see the life and the ministry of Elisha. Now, haven't spoken about our humanity, haven't spoken about our limitations as men. Please do not make the mistake of downplaying the grace that God has put upon men just because we are men. The vessel is earthen, but the treasure is not earthen. The treasure is a holy substance that is from heaven. God stores his grace in men. Frail vessels, yes. Limited vessels, yes. Because this is the balance to the enlightenment campaign. Our generation is about losing batons because of lack of discernment. We downplay on everyone and we just say, no. Even salvation depends on the gospel that a man preaches. You see, it took the man Jesus to redeem men, not the God Jesus. It took the man, he had to become a man. So men are very important. Do not be careful with the campaign that downplays graces. I know that people have abused it, people have made idolatry and merchandise, sadly, out of impartations, anointing and all of that. And I know that most of what people call impartation is really not impartation, but there are real impartations. An impartation is a transference of spiritual possibilities. If it is on you, it is on you, and your results will show. If it is not on you, it's not on you. Praise the Lord. And so that is very important. Discernment. Number two, honor. The second key that governs receiving from a vessel, an anointed vessel, is honor. What is honor? The discerning, the celebrating, and if need be, the rewarding of men for their sacrifices and their spiritual investments. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But I remember standing in that crusade ground, Reinhard Bonnke's crusade ground. I had seen miracles and signs and wonders in my own life. But I knew that there was a grace upon that man. I was already walking in miracles. I was already walking in revelations. But I discerned that this one was not just an evangelist. There was a grace upon his life. And I submitted myself to that grace. I remember I went to Jossa. I stood for 6 hours on that crusade ground as a man of God. And Reinhard Bonnke preached a simple message. I would have said, oh, this man does not have revelation, so let me edit his revelation. I was stayed on him with hunger. I had not even eaten. I said, Lord, there is something upon this man that made the gates of Africa to open. Gates don't just open. He preached a simple message, and then he was going to take a cup of water to now minister the baptism. And then that was my first vision of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. My eyes suddenly opened in that crusade ground. Tens of probably of thousands of people, and I saw a giant bird bigger than this room with silvery wings hovering around the entire crusade ground. I thought everyone was seeing it. What is this sight that I'm seeing? My hunger and my honor had touched the heavens. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God took me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, and the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. That when the Spirit begins to move and it collides with the spoken word, what happens is the birthing of the miraculous. Do you know, when I came back from that vision, I was already back in the stage. I didn't even know what had happened to me. There was a great man, many of you know him, he's late now, Prophet Cobus van Rensburg. I saw the dimension of miracles that was in that man's ministry. Within 6 years, they had raised about 10,000 crutches. The whole church had crutches hanging on it. It's not some stage managed things. I said, what dimension of grace is this? And I heard him say that before Smith Wigglesworth met Lester Sumrall and told him, don't die with this grace. When you are about to die, find young men. This is a baton. Find young men. I had been searching about God's general, searching for these people, and I know that mantles are real. They are transferable. And so I remember when I had the opportunity to go and meet him, my hunger drove me to South Africa because I wanted to meet somebody who had encounter with the generals, what we call God's generals. I couldn't have access to Robert Sladen and all of that. You've heard my story where I was to travel to the U.S. to scrub the toilet of Charles and Francis Hunter for 2 weeks, not to preach, as a man of God. Now, I was not doing that religiously. When you do things religiously, there is no blessing. Understanding is what sponsors, it gives life to your activities. Don't just clean people's shoes and roll on the ground foolishly. No, that's not what I'm advocating. I'm just saying that when understanding is in place, do not downplay what your show of honor can do. I watched their healing videos. The entire healing video should be like 12 hours or so. Charles and Francis Hunter. I don't think there have been anybody, arguably, modern day apostolic and prophetic and evangelical movement that manifested the dimension of power and the miraculous in the lives of these people. I didn't want to be someone who will pray for 90 people and only one person will be healed and I'll keep celebrating. No. To bring a dimension of kingdom reality that dumbfounds argument. I remember when he prayed for me, he said, "You will be like Paul. This is what I'm seeing." And he began to lay hands on me. For we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. Listen, for we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. One more time. Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. Hallelujah. Elisha endured it to receive the grace. Waiting for perfect vessels to transfer grace for you, you will never find one. Adaptation is proof of honor. There were many things that were done by the great prophet that I have reservations for. I may not bring them to the ministry, but that's too small a reason to not open up my heart and receive. When I returned back, the dimension of the miraculous that I stepped into surprised me. I said, "What is this?" It's amazing how easy your life can be when the grace that sponsors that result comes on you. And it is amazing how hard your life can be when the grace that is allocated for the result you seek is not on you. We're wrapping up. I'm praying 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and we're done. But it's important to establish this so that the prayer will be able to find a place in our hearts.
Jehovah will be your everlasting life. He'll be your glory, your strength and your sight. The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will shine 7 times as bright. When Yahweh binds up the wounds of this world, he heals all the bruises inflicted by this world. Hallelujah.
I started singing that song because I'm seeing the vision of a man of God on his knees now. I'm seeing the vision of a man of God. You are a preacher. And I'm seeing you on your knees crying and saying, "Lord, I've desired an impartation. I want you to know that your life is about to change. Please give me a little warning." You see, when I was watching William Branham, and I was just looking, it was an interview just like this, and I stayed with my heart broken. I said, "God, look at this servant of yours. How come people cannot see the compassion and the humility?" Listen, don't criticize a man until you know the weight of what he's carrying. There are ministers you are seeing, the burden and the grace upon their life is heavy. Pray for them. Don't talk about them. Until you can look at Moses,
was carrying a dimension and was quiet, a part of his spirit came on 70 elders and none of them could stand. That's what one man was carrying. So when you are talking about people, the attacks that come to their life, have the fortitude to discern and the grace that is upon them. When I looked at William Branham, do you know, even the modern day prophetic, there are few people who have come close opportunity to capture these things. As I was watching him with humility, this is what happened to me. Suddenly, I felt like oil from my head. My eyes were teary, and it started going down my body. Cold sensation, like I was in a fridge. I said, what is happening? It started going down, down. It took like 30 minutes, and then it just left. The next meeting I went to, and the heavens opened. Lord, what is this dimension you are bringing me into? Oh no. I remember when I went to pay for two women. They were buying sugarcane or something, I can't remember. And I told one of the women, for some reason I was drawn in my spirit. I said, these mothers, I may not have much to help them, but I said, can I sow into their lives? And I said, please, the woman was trying to lose her wrapper to pay. I said, this is a mother like me. Let me honor this woman. And then I brought out 100 naira, I think, and I paid for them. Pastor, when I did that, the women began to bless me. Frail mothers. And one of them looked at me and said, my son, forever walk upon gold. So when I say I'm a product of many anointings, it is true. A product of many anointings. I had the opportunity, by the grace of God and the privilege of God's grace, to honor the man that began the first official mentor in my life that I shared with you, that began to train me in the seminary. I had the opportunity a few days ago to search for him and to honor him. And I told him, after many decades, what you have done still stands. And I am grateful to return back. No matter what I've become today, I know you are an old man there, but I want you to know that I am wise enough to return to you to say, God bless you. And he sent a text and began to prophesy. This is how we rise, by discernment. Emoji will destroy us, and you may not backslide, but you will camp at a level. You will keep preaching things you cannot defend. The great dimension to defend your spiritual propositions is not there. And this is a generation that needs proofs. When I came to you, I did not come with the excellency of speech, he says, but in the demonstration of power, that your faith would not rest upon the eloquence, the wisdom, Sophia of men, but upon the power of God. I'm about to pray. I do not stand to one who is the absolute custodian of the grace of God in the body. That will be flattery and that will be foolishness. But I can tell you one thing, I come as one who is a privileged steward of the mysteries of the kingdom for this generation. Will you open up the gates? Open up the doors. While speaking to the east gate, in the spirit to be open. Will you open up the gates? Open up the doors. Will you open up the door? In 1 minute, wherever you are, viewing across the nations of the earth, I'd like you to open your mouth and begin to place a demand upon specific graces that will be required for your next level of kingdom assignment. You may be a minister watching from whatever nation, this country, this city. I'd like you to open, please forget about the humanity of this man standing before you and focus on the grace and say, Lord, there is a grace. You never send people without that spiritual equipment. Please open up your mouth and pray. Let your heart be desperate. There are specific graces. There is a grace for influence. There is a grace that makes a generation hear your voice. Just because you have something to say does not mean a generation will listen to you. There is a grace for consistency that sponsors your stability. There is a grace for signs and wonders. There is a grace that provides stamina. Please pray. Hallelujah. I want to pray for the grace that produces encounters. This is an office. It is not a mantle. Now, this one I can tell you by the privilege of the election of grace. Out of having all the gifts, I cannot boast of having all the keys for administration and excellence, but I can show you the path to encounter. I know how to help men find God. It's a grace. And I want to release that grace. The grace that drives men to hunger after God. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, I stretch my hands to our viewers in the studio and all across the globe, pastors, businessmen, men and women of the gospel, those who love Jesus and continue to serve his purposes. In the name that is above all names, may that grace that makes for encounter, may that hunger that drives men to the secret place, the hunger that prioritizes God above ministry, above religion, above money, may that grace come upon you in the name of Jesus. May that grace come upon you in the name of Jesus. Let it come upon your ministry. Let it come upon your assembly. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There's somebody watching me from Uyo. Your name is Adams. I'm seeing you sit on a couch. Your name is Adams. You are watching me from Uyo. In the name of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you right now. And the Lord is saying, I should tell you that he's shifting you into new dimensions in the spirit. You are stepping into new levels by the supernatural power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'm hearing a name, Annabelle. Annabelle. You are watching from the UK. Annabelle. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that anointing is resting upon you now by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. By the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm seeing, the Lord is showing me a vision, and I'm seeing a woman. There are two bottles of anointing oil in front of you. You are on your knees lifting your hands just to receive. There are two bottles of anointing oil I'm seeing. The power is not really in the oil. It's not the ritual of the oil. But because your faith has connected to this, I'm praying for you from here. In the name of Jesus, let the grace for speed come upon your life. The second grace that I want to release is the grace for speed. Listen, there is a real grace for speed. And the hand of God came upon Elijah. And he ran on barefoot and overtook the chariots of Ahab down to Jezreel. There is a grace that can make 10 years be compressed in 1 year. It is a grace. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, the anointing of the Spirit is coming on this lady in the studio, that lady on her knees. I'm seeing an angel pouring oil on that lady. And the Lord is saying he's activating prophetic psalmistry. This is what I'm hearing in the spirit. Prophetic psalmistry. You're going to begin to receive songs from the spirit. They will come in dreams. Dreams, not songs that you have written. Songs by the spirit. They will come in dreams. I decree and declare upon men and women, some of you are in ministry for many years, and you're saying, Apostle, I've done my best. I've worked in character, in integrity. I'm serving the purpose of God with all my heart. I love Jesus. I've given myself to sound reason. It looks like there is no speed. Help comes to you. I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, and by the privilege of the election of grace, I decree and declare upon you, in the name of Jesus, speed to your endeavors, speed in ministry, in the name of Jesus. I command acceleration, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. It says, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed you with an oil of gladness that makes you above your fellows. There is a grace for influence. Access to the loyalty of a territory. Access to the loyalty of a generation is a grace. If they hear ye him anointing that compels all and sundry to acknowledge the dealings and the workings of God upon your life. Listen, let me tell you this. I believe, Pastor, this is what I believe, that there are many people greater than the Apostle Joshua Selmans and all of these people scattered in the body. There are people who have deeper revelations, higher levels of passion than some of us. But the challenge for those people is the grace for influence. That hear ye him anointing is not there. There are books that can change, not in, I don't mean it in a competitive way, but there are sincere people that have, they have dimensions that should be heard. But you see them do their best, they labor, and their influence never goes beyond the city. You cannot promote yourself in this kingdom. I told you that you can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor must be conferred upon you by another. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the body of Christ by the privilege of the grace. The kind of influence that your kingdom assignment, may that grace rest upon you now. May that grace rest upon you now. May that grace rest upon you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. May that grace rest upon you now. I want to minister strength by the Spirit. There are many pastors who are weary. Pastors are bleeding and crying. The lockdown has caused a lot of things. Some of them have lost so many things. There are many pastors who their churches are almost shredded into pieces right now. And they are bleeding and they need the supply of strength. Strength. The Bible says strengthen with might in the inner man. The Holy Spirit can use men to minister strength. I declare to you, for every man of God, every woman of God, right now under the sound of my voice, you are about giving up in ministry. You are about giving up in life. You are saying, Lord, if you called me, prove yourself. You've been crying, no resources to back you, no men to stand and lift your hands. The audience that will listen and acknowledge what God is doing in your life is not there. I minister strength to you right now. In the name of Jesus, I minister strength. I minister strength. Now, I want to pray for a special group of people. And this is a touchy area, but I'll just touch on the surface. There is no denying the fact that it is not only error that is in the body. There is also the reality that there is apostasy in the body. It's an unfortunate truth, but it's true. And I don't say this, I have profound respect for every man and woman of God in the body, but the truth must be admitted, even at the expense of our reputation. There are dimensions of apostasy, and there may be many ministers, especially young ministers, who have found themselves under many oils, many graces. Sincerely, for some of them, they may have found themselves either because of the loyalty of mission, under many influences that have planted all kinds of things. You received impartation. You knew that loss just came upon you. You are healing the sick, but loss is killing you. You are healing the sick, but all kinds of things are killing you. And there are people who began well, sincerely, but probably have found themselves in all kinds of things. Pride, roots of the flesh, and even direct. There is always a way out. It may not necessarily mean that you are not called. It may just mean that you need the grace and the word that purifies. Let me tell you this. While it is true that I don't advocate to fight anybody and tear anybody down and destroy anyone's work, thank God all of us will be judged one day. The Bible says there arose the living and the dead and the books, you know, the works of men, and they were rewarded. You see. But then I must say this. There are circles. I'm speaking to you, prophet. Many of you, there are circles that it's time to get out of. You must summon the courage in the name of Jesus, the Christ of God. Don't fight them. Don't go around on Facebook Instagram, destroying people. No. But there are circles, sincerely, that it's time to wave goodbye for. When he met Gideon and Gideon said, "Why are we not seeing the miracles of our fathers?" He said, "There are idols. Idols that have replaced me," paraphrasing. When you destroy those idols, when Elijah wanted fire to come from heaven, the first thing he did was to rebuild the altar again with the 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. And then the next thing that happened was water came upon it. Water, the cleansing of the word. Afterwards, there is a new wine that's coming upon the body of Christ. Let me announce it prophetically. There is a wine that is not like the old. There is the rising of many strange people. Many of them, we may not even, are not even the Joshua Selmans. They are still in the cave of Adullam. And God is working them, pruning them. They are not on TV. They may not be at conferences. Let me give you a word of caution. Run away from pride. Run away from dishonor. Run away from ingratitude. I speak to my generation of young ministers and I repeat, run away from pride. Run away from ingratitude. Run away from dishonor. These are killers of grace. But I want to pray, and we're agreeing as an assembly. Maranatha, Lord, come. That dimension of you that was revealed from Nigeria, your privileged firstborn, that rejected stone, the one whose rivers provide, we decree and declare prophetically, standing in the name of Jesus, let there be a mighty army from this nation. Let there be a mighty army from Africa. Let there be a mighty army from Europe. Let there be a mighty army from the US. In the name of Jesus, across the globe, China, Asia, the Gulf nations, Father, raise mighty men and women of fire. Men who will last, men who will stand the test of time. Anoint them with such power. May they be apostles and prophets of balance. No exaggeration. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me pray the last prayer point. The Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, 1 Corinthians 13 says, but I do not have love. It says, I am nothing. The body of Christ needs the message of love like never before. This obsession about rejoicing over the downfall of people is a demonic thing that is eating into the body. Faith, hope, and love. In the 60s and 70s, it was the move of the faith movement. Word of faith, fathers, great fathers in Nigeria here. I think Pastor Dele has done a beautiful a beautiful presentation about the church in Nigeria. I would plead with you, sir, if it can be made available on your website or wherever it is, let the people get it. History holds the key to the future. There is something about the past we need to know. Praise the Lord. And then the prophetic movement started in Nigeria, but it did not last so long because it was corrupted and it looked like God just withdrew it quietly. That was the movement of hope. that maketh not ashamed. It created a lot. People began to prophesy and say there is a move coming. The last move of God will be the move of love. It was love, not faith, that died on the cross. More than faith, more than hope, the pillars of revival for the days that come will be men of love, not just men of prayer, not just men of power. The pandemic just became a messenger that birthed a season that was already on its way coming. I assure you that things have changed. The indices that we use to measure success in ministry are going to change. Those we must redefine indices by new patterns given from heaven. Hallelujah. And so it is important for us to learn. Young ministers, hear me, I have a word for you. Stop criticizing fathers. Stop insulting fathers. Now, it is true, respectfully speaking, that God has granted grace to see certain dimensions, and there is nothing to be ashamed of. I've said it again and again. Our children, being biological children, the mentees that we are raised, already seen dimensions that we are not seeing. It's not about backsliding. It is the progressive character of revelations. No matter how accurate we are, there will come a generation that will edit our limitations. So we must attend, as we manage the limitations of fathers, we must do it with respect. I know they are humans. I know they have made mistakes. I know some of them may not hold the kind of disposition of humility that will allow them to receive these things. But let God be the judge. Your own assignment is to be truthful. Your own assignment is to see to it by the Spirit that you are faithful. Because one day, the same burden upon them is coming upon you too. And I hope you will be ready to reap the harvest of the seed you are sowing. I do not want my name to become a closed door to my children. That they remember that Joshua Selman was someone who destroyed the body. Whenever we are doing what we are doing, think about your children. You are not successful until the lives of your children testify so. So I'm advocating a revolution of love. Now, it does not mean endorsing evil. Don't get me wrong. It does not mean we will not challenge things. I open up my life. You see it here. You can challenge dimensions, but let us restore love back. Everything is useless when there is no love. It says, there remaineth these three. Faith that moves mountains, hope that maketh not ashamed, and love. But it says the greatest, the more excellent way of prophesying is to prophesy in love. The more excellent way of teaching is to teach in love. The more excellent way of posting videos online is to do it in love. The more excellent way of correcting is to correct in love. The moment you add love to anything, love never fails. I show you the cure to our failure. Add love to anything that is already failing, it will change the calculation. Love never fails. I want us to pray for the baptizing church. We cannot end this praying for Pastor Dele and the entire team, all of the branches in Lagos and scattered, and all who follow this grace and this ministry around the world. I believe in what God is doing in his life, and we are going to pray for Pastor Dele and use him as a point of contact and say, Lord, this that you are doing in his life in this season, in the name of Jesus, prosper the work, grant speed. Is someone praying? Pray for your pastor. All who are following, pray for this man of God, pray for his wife, pray for the ministry. We may never know what he goes through daily, the attacks that come to him as a result of the burden that he's carrying, the dimension of God committed to him. We must pray. Lift your voice and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift and the blessing of Pastor Dele to the body of Christ. We decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that he becomes a man in season and out of season. You will bless him. Raise Aaron's and Hur's that will lift up his hand, Christ. Bless him, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor, thank you so much. I want you to know that I truly appreciate this opportunity. And it never tires me to say thank you to you and every other platform as God provides to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And I want to thank those who are viewing. I really want to thank you for patience. And then you're opening up your heart and receiving that which we have, promoting what we represent. May the Lord bless you and honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor Dele, thank you. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you. I'm honored to have shared the stage and to have the time with you. In Jesus' name, let's celebrate him. Thank you.
Wow. Wow. It's been almost 4 hours. I already told Apostle I knew this was going to be. If I told him 3 hours. But you see how God works. If we stay here for another 8 minutes, it's going to be exactly 4 hours. Well, again, please make sure you sow your seed by the grace of God as we are led by the Spirit without any pressure. I just appreciate Apostle. He has ministered to us, and we must minister back to him too. So on that note, I want to thank everyone, especially the workforce here, locally in Abuja. Thank you very much for the effort. Pastor Tope, Pastor Femi, Pastor Efe, Pastor Gbero, all the leaders in the house, I salute you guys for putting this together in such a short time. You see, the hallmark of honor is why I'm also here. The moment Apostle agreed to broadcast from the, I just said this cannot be happening. And I won't be here. I mean, not just, if I'm not here, things will still go on. But I just felt it's a new dimension for us as a ministry. And we must receive that which God is bringing our way. And for everyone that joined us on social media, thank you very much. And just like I've openly canvassed and invited Apostle, I'm sure whenever he finds a way in the will of God, in the ways of Apostle Paul, he said, I'm trying to find a way in the will of God to come to you. So whenever I find a way in the will of God, I'm sure we're going to have him restored to us soon to do this again, because we can't just do this one off. We need to continue to do this possibly every quarter. Talk to your ministers and see what the Lord will do. So on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the savior of the body, I want to thank Apostle Sema again for, doing this for us. It's the first time I'm actually doing this. It's never been done anywhere. So we are kind of first fruit. And we truly, truly appreciate. Thank you for laboring. I could imagine 4 solid hours of your time. It can only be God. So on that note, we want to share the grace and fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with your spirit in the name of